Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome everyone to Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. I'm Ricky Mast, Atlanta Braves digital media content manager, joined here by Director of Braves Alumni Relations, Greg McMichael. Greg, well, first of all, welcome to the new microphones.
These are nice.
Kevin McAlpin and Big Boy both got to be on these mics before you did.
Wow, I feel like Joe Rogan.
Right? Yeah, that's what we're going for a professional setup here. Yeah. Although I still haven't fixed some of the as we found out when we were setting this up just now, I still haven't worked out all the bugs, but we're getting there.
Getting high tech.
Yeah. I think my voice sounds better on these microphones.
Well, at the end of the day, that's
really all I care about. Do I sound good?
Your mic's even gold.
That's the next step. Microphones made of gold. You know, it's kind of surprising to me and you, I think, that it took us as long as it did to have today's guests on, and not for any particular reason other than just it just worked out that way. Mike Plant, who, of course, if you're a Braves fan, longtime Braves fan, I'm sure you've heard his name, president and CEO of Braves Development Company. And really, I think you even said it at the end when we talked to him, like, we're gonna have to do this again with him, because we didn't even touch, like, we barely scratched the surface of everything that we could go with him. I mean, he briefly mentioned that he was a speed skater. He was Olympic speed skater when he was younger, but we didn't really delve into that because we had all these questions about the Braves Development Company, the battery, the Braves, our organization. I mean, all of that. So we're gonna have to do it again. But I kind of had the same feeling talking with him that I've had when we've sat down with Derek. We sat down with Alex numerous times. Of course, we had Mr. Sherholtz on a few years ago, and even with Snit too. It's that we're lucky that we've got the leaders we do. We've got good, smart people, good people in place that are leading the charge for us here, and I think we're pretty lucky. And I know, and you get into it a little bit. You and Mike go pretty far back, and he's been a big supporter of yours and your program for a while now.
Yeah, Mike is the one that I called when I wanted to come to work for the Braves. Wasn't real sure how it was going to work out, but I know I had an idea that I felt like that he was the person I needed to talk to. And Mike and I had met with a TBS event, like I'd said in the interview, and so we kind of hit it off, because being a former Olympic athlete and then now in business, he came from kind of a little bit of a sports marketing background, and then now was involved with the Goodwill Games, and then he was the VP of operations at the time, was running a lot of things for the Braves. And so we just kind of hit it off, and I thought, you know what, I need to go in and just talk to him. And you know, I had this idea, I think it would really work. And so I just called him up and said, hey, can we get together? And what was fascinating about that, and he talks about it, is the fact that he got it right away. Now, it took us a little bit of time, took us about 6 months to, you know, for him to put it together. And really, because there was nobody doing it, and there was not this like, oh yeah, this is how you do this, and yeah, it's worked, and blah, blah, blah. We had to kind of figure it out as we went. And so I loved it, and I reported directly to him, and we just had a great time putting this together, and it worked out. And of course, a lot of things that Mike does works out.
Right.
He's had an incredible career, not only skating and cycling and being involved with the Olympics. He was on the board of the IOC for a while, but then what he's done here in this organization, as you said, he's now president of the Battery, and the story that these guys, our leaders, have put together, that, like you said, there's not a week that goes by that some sports organization is not coming here to try to duplicate it and to figure out what they've done. Groundbreaking, just model that they put together. It's fascinating. He tells a story, so hopefully everybody will stick around to check that out, because it's a great story, and it continues to evolve, which is amazing. You think it wouldn't get better, and it just keeps getting better.
It does. Well, I think that's the perfect segue. You set it up perfectly. Let's get right into it. Here he is, Mike Plant.
Well, Mike, appreciate you being on with us today. This has been a long time coming. Obviously, we've got a pretty long history together, and I was trying to think back, but the first time we met, it had to be one of the TBS events back in the 2000s when
when we were still doing spring training trips down there. But we've been working together for a long time, and we've got so much history that I was trying to think where to start. You know, you had a great career as an athlete, being in the Olympics, speed skating, and then going into cycling. And then I just was trying to think really what we wanted to talk about, because I mean, we could just spend all of our time on that. And I don't want to do that, because there's been so many fascinating things here with the Braves. And I wanted to just touch base and ask you, could you put in just, I don't know, a short story of what happened in, you know, in the early or mid, you know, 2010 to 2015 and how we got here. I tell that story all the time because I look out at that model in the lobby and I ask people, because, you know, I'm entertaining, or I have people who've never been here before, and I go, hey, do you know the story on how we got here? And they're like, no, I don't know. And so you were such an integral part of that. I mean, it all happened in your office. Can you just tell us, just from your perspective, how that happened? And obviously that takes us to where we are today.
Okay, sure. That's better than me talking about wearing tights and going around in circles a long time ago.
Right.
So, it's been a heck of a journey. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people just even recently that I remember just 9 short years ago walking this piece of property in my boots and trying to look forward with a little vision and say, can we build a new ballpark and this incredible mixed-use destination to drive people here year-round? And that was really our goal down at Turner Field. I know Derek and I started in 2003 and realized very quickly that we had an incredible baseball stadium down there, obviously because of the Olympic Games and the transition from the Olympic Games to Turner Field. Great memories. Great history, a lot of incredible performances and that on the field of play. But when you walked outside the gates, there was nothing there but 46 acres of asphalt. And we wanted to create more of a year-round destination. We tried for 8 years. I was in the center and middle of trying with the Recreation Authority that owned Turner Field. And unfortunately, couldn't get a 2-page MOU signed. And all the MOU said was, we're going to take the lead in exploring this opportunity to create a mixed-use development around this ballpark, and we won't do anything without, obviously, collaboration with you. But we're also going to pay for all of it. And so, I made clear to them very early on that no one was going to build something outside our doorstep, because without us being part of it. Because done incorrectly, it could have an adverse financial and operational impact to how we are successful off the field. So it was really important for us to be the drivers. You know, we got to an impasse, obviously, in 2013, where we realized that we weren't going to be able to create that opportunity for ourselves and do it collaboratively with the Rec Authority and with the support of the city. We had a time clock, obviously, that was ticking, knowing that 2016 was our last season at Turner Field, and had to start quickly exploring other opportunities. Was fortunate that on July 3rd, 2013, I still keep the email on my desk, that I told Christina, my assistant, I need to go have lunch with this guy named Tim Lee, and it's at the Marietta Country Club, and so clear my calendar. And had that lunch, lasted about three and a half hours, started talking about ideas for public-private partnership to build a new ballpark, and committed to Tim that, look, this was not a stalking horse situation for us to leverage the city of Atlanta. We know and knew then where the majority of our fan base came from. We knew then number one reason people didn't come to more games was because of a lot of traffic issues and lack of parking, lack of access, and lack of energy outside of that ballpark. So fortunately, that was what really drove our decision. And Tim was one of those few government leaders that said, I'm going to think like a businessman. I'm going to think like an entrepreneur. I'm going to take a risk, and I think it's a calculated risk because it's the Atlanta Braves, been around for a long, long time, probably not going anywhere. It's not a tech company that's just a startup. Mm-hmm. And he liked the vision we had, and he understood that he was going to have to invest in this venture with us. He was going to invest in the ballpark side, and we were going to bring 100% of the investment on the mixed-use side. He understood that the mixed-use was the driver and the catalyst to help pay for the debt service on on the public side for the ballpark. And in 2 weeks, you know, we were dancing, and it's an incredible story. And I made that commitment to him that they would not be used as a stalking horse. If we could make something work, this is where we're going to come. Also told him that at the same time, look, we weren't interested in doing public referendums. And the problem with public
we've been there, right?
Yeah, and the problem with public referendums is we as the team can't get past the noise, and noise is percolated and I think intensified by the media. They have a story that they want to tell, and they have a narrative they're going to stick to. And that narrative in the past could be supported by public-private partnerships on just sports or entertainment venues as standalones. That's probably a narrative that had some validity to it. What we did here with the Battery and the mixed-use development is completely different. It's the game changer in this business. Is what's supporting, obviously, this incredible result this last year, $38 million of brand new cash that went into Cobb County's in the state of Georgia's system. That doesn't happen with a standalone facility.
That's amazing. How did you guys keep it so quiet? I think that's the fascinating part. You know, as well, being in real estate, if one person finds out, that then all the prices start escalating, and it becomes really hard to put the deal together. How in the world did y'all do that?
Well, I think for me personally, I think back on my career, I've never been an individual that has said anything about anything until I could back it up and it was factual, and I knew. Deals were signed. It was something that was going to happen. I see it. You see it happen all the time. People are out there with their big idea or their big contract they think they're going to do. And it's a little bit of the kiss of death, because it doesn't happen and you look a little foolish. And I think everyone in this organization, and there's the historical facts are, we all believe the same thing. When John Schuerholz is a GM, you don't talk about a player you think you're going to go after. We announce it when we have that player under contract. And it's the same way we all feel about our business. We'll back it up when it's a fact. And I knew it was very important. We were still negotiating with the city of Atlanta. At the same time, we were exploring this opportunity. We knew as an organization it was incredibly important to keep it tight until we had, obviously, all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. Look, some people don't understand, don't appreciate the fact that we are an economic driver in this state and in the Southeast. And you don't negotiate in the newspapers, just like you didn't with State Farm and Mercedes and the car plants coming here. Those are economic decisions that people at a high level make. And it's because of the revenues we're gonna generate, the jobs we're gonna create, that's us. We're just a little bit more exposed and people are more emotionally attached to us. And that's probably the difference with us. We love their emotion as our fans, obviously. But now we're able to back it up with what we're generating for this community in the state of Georgia as well.
For sure.
Well, seemingly every professional sports team in the United States now, if they're looking at building a new facility, be it an arena, a ballpark, a stadium, whatever, or even teams that have a facility that exists but they don't have anything built around it, seemingly all of them now look to here as the model. And that's not just me as a lifelong Braves guy and now Braves employee saying that. That's, you can read that. That's printed. It's on social media. I remember one of the first years I was up in the press box, one of the first years of this ballpark. I believe it was the first time the Texas Rangers came here to visit. And the press guys, the beat guys for the Rangers, had all been out in the Battery, and they were all buzzing when they were back at the press box saying, man, if the Rangers can do half of what this is out here, that's really going to be something. So when you see that and you see all these other teams looking at the model you guys built, I mean, you have to take a lot of pride in that, right? Or how much pride do you take in that?
Yeah, we all do, obviously. And I was telling someone the other day, the number now is over 200 teams that have been here.
Wow.
They come almost every week. And we spend time with them enough to scare them to understand how difficult this is, how challenging this is. And I also always say, hey, look, you know, you have to have an incredible amount of guts, resolve, be willing to take risk, be able to back it up with a bunch of equity. And that's where Liberty was so fantastic, our owners, of saying, look, we're going to support you guys. We believe in what you're going to do. We're keeping our fingers crossed the results will be there. The results have blown everyone away, including myself. I don't think any of us would have ever thought that we'd have 10.1 million people come through here last year. And we're already tracking ahead of that for this year. So we definitely are the model. I think every professional, and now you're seeing college teams that are starting to talk about mixed use development, and people are understanding as a professional team, you have some exposure when you're not playing games, and you're trying to obviously create additional revenue sources, trying to create, again, more energy around that core facility that you've created. And no different than in the old days of the malls, you had to have a big anchor tenant, and that's what drove all the smaller tenants. You know, we're a little bit in the same recipe, same formula. The ballpark drive is a big driver, but everything else we're doing to activate this place year round is what's also helping.
Well, I remember when this place was first announced, 2013, 10 years ago, I was still living in my home state of Virginia at the time, Braves fan, and the news, like everybody else, came out of nowhere, and I was just floored by it. And I remember at some point after that, when the first renderings came out of the Battery in particular, and I remember thinking, as somebody who had spent a lot of time coming down here to visit Turner Field, I was like, man, that's going to be so amazing to have that outside the ballpark. And I remember seeing that there were going to be apartments there. I thought, man, wouldn't that be something to live there and work there? And then fast forward a few years, and I have lived here in the Battery, and I've worked here for a number of years now. So it's crazy to see how it's all developed. From what that original vision was back 10 years ago to what it's become now, has anything surprised you in the development of the Battery? I mean, types of businesses that have worked or that have come in, or things that didn't work that you had to alter on? I mean, what has surprised you in the development of this place?
You know, I wouldn't say surprised, but I'd say that we had a unique ability to pivot because of our ownership and control. And that was something that was really important to us. And I tell every team that comes here now, you don't ever want to cede control to a bunch of different organizations or entities. It's really important for us to be able to look every one of these tenants in the eye. They know that we're the driver. They know we're the controlling interest here. They know that those retail tenants, we can tell them, look, you're not going to have a problem parking even during games, so that your establishment can also do well during our games, and you'll fill the place up. And so if you had a bunch of different developers and that were part of your partnership, and that their interests aren't 100% aligned with ours, they're very different, especially when you look at the fact that we're here for 30 years. We're not going anywhere. You know, we're not traditional developers. I get asked that, or people make that comment all the time, reminding us we're in a development real estate business. And I always respond by saying, really? I thought we were in the World Series winning business. Because right. We're not losing sight of that. It's our core mission and what everything we do here. But yeah, it's again, creating a very unique place, being able to pivot when soft goods retail was our original focus for retail. And all of a sudden in 2014, as we're getting rolling in that, everyone started getting this little brown box at their door every day. And they deliver them every single day, at least at my house they do. And people don't shop the same way they used to. So we pivoted quickly to say, let's go more centric on restaurants and more experiential type of retailers and tenants. And that's worked very well for us. So pivoting was important, controlling it, operating it, managing, owning all of it. That's, we believe, the recipe that's made it successful.
Well, we've talked about how, you know, this building got here and the Battery and the formula for this, but we know that the driver is what happens out on that field, right? So right. We could have the most beautiful place in the world, but if we can't win ball games, then we end up being like some of the other cities, right, who have new ballparks. But we hear this internally a lot, that we go out and if we do the right things, from baseball ops to, you know, accounting to social media and alumni relations, that, you know, we are supporting everything that those guys do, but ultimately they have to win. And then that makes the whole model work. And so we brought Alex in, you guys brought Alex in, and just done a phenomenal job. So that's what we see today. But 13 years ago, you know, I came to your office and said, hey, you know, I've got an idea about doing an alumni program. And you very graciously listened to me. And we started formulating this game plan. And I've talked about this for years. I mean, Ricky and I've been doing this podcast. Was it 3-4 years now?
This is 5 years.
Five years.
I know.
Holy cow.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. First time I'm on in 5 years. What the heck?
I've been trying.
You know, you're a busy man, right? So 13 years ago, we started talking about what does an alumni program look like. I tell people all the time, Mike told me to, you know, I sat in his office and then you told me to call you next week. And I called you next week for 6 months and we finally got it done, because there was the things we wanted to do, nobody was doing.
Right.
And so we built something back then that I can say after seeing every team, that we have one of the top two or three best alumni programs in baseball, if not the best. And of course, this accelerated that because people, guys want to come back, but still, we built this back at Turner Field and then the model that we created. And so you were a big, you're the big reason why that happened. And I wanted to say thank you for that because, of course, I love what I do. And then that led into this podcast. It's led into now Growing the Game initiative that I'm involved in, a lot of things that we talk about. But if you talk to any of our alumni, they are so appreciative about how we treat them. And of course, I say that because it goes back to these guys who are playing on the field, because, you know, as an athlete, that's only a little part of it. Now that we've been away from our games and now we see what happens behind the scenes, we know that it's just a huge machine. And so now, being a part of this organization, we have so many different facets to our organization that it's flat out amazing, and being able to see a part of that. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. And I don't know if you realize all the stuff that this has kind of turned into and all the different programming, but we're hitting on around 200 events a year, and the alumni are involved in everything from community relations to the foundation to ticket sales to group sales to corporate partnerships to this whole Growing the Game initiative, which is probably going to end up almost doubling the amount of appearances that alumni are doing. So they're very integrated in that. So this has evolved into a lot of things. So, but it wouldn't happen without you and John. And
thanks. Look, you know, I remember that those early days, and I think it was maybe something I understood from my Olympic speed skating career. Different for me is I always stayed involved in sport and the Olympic movement and traipsing all over the globe. And so when my career was over, wearing tights and going around in a circle, I didn't go sell insurance or become a doctor or, you know, deliver the mail. I stayed involved. And so I never lost touch with that. But I look at, obviously, a lot of players in all different sports. When that career is over, there's a wake up call that they're forgotten. And what you brought to me that day, it was easy for me to understand it. It was more difficult to then say, okay, how are we going to get it up and rolling? But those players that put that Braves uniform on, they not only do they deserve our respect, I think you and I agreed that if we showed that to them and we treated them in a different way, elevated their experience here, there's no way they should have to ask for a ticket. Mm-hmm. Where am I going to park my car? Stopped serving them hot dogs when we get them together. We started serving them shrimp. And we understood, both of us, that that was going to be easier for you than to ask them to give back. And now giving back hundreds of times a year, it has to work for both sides. And I'm proud that it's working really, really well. And I hear it from them as well.
So, yeah, that's great. So,
but hats off to you, because it was your passion, you know, your vision. You brought it to us. And great to hear that we're one of the top ones out there now.
Yeah, and I talk to teams. I probably consult with two or three teams a year just on how to create an alumni weekend. I mean, we've got 10,000 people out there for an alumni parade during alumni weekend, right? You know, and now we've got our Hall of Fame that we're involved with and on that we've joined up with on alumni weekends, which is really special. So it's come full circle. But we talk about this every week because Ricky always says, well, hey, what's going on with alumni? You know, what do we have coming up? And then we'll talk about the different events. And I will say it all started with Spanx. I don't know, you know, it was their 10th year anniversary, and that was the first event we ever did.
Right, that's right.
We had about 50 women down at Turner Field, and we did it was the very first Brave for a Day we did. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's right, I do remember that.
Well, Mike, last question for me. So living here, I walk through here every day. So I'm always interested to see what's going on. You know, right now there's Battle and Brews. There's some space being worked on in between Italiano, which is my wife and I's favorite place here, by the way.
There's private dining. That's what we're doing there.
Nice. Okay.
So we're going to have some private dining space now.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Well, yeah. That's where I'll take the wife.
Yeah.
That'll be nice. What else? And then, of course, Truist is putting the big building back here. I mean, just because the battery has been here for a few years, this does not mean that it's just up. We're done, and that's it. It's what you see is what you get. I mean, what all are you working on now? The future.
So
of this
you
place?
Just mentioned Truist Securities. So that's a 250,000 square foot building, which will have about 1,000 new employees that'll be working on the campus here.
Wow!
And then next to that is another 5-story parking deck with a 42,000 square foot trading floor on top of it. So all their global trading, 24/7, 365, will take place in that new headquarters building, a really highly amenitized building as well. And then we're looking at our partnership with the Henry, and the Henry is the two towers. They end up being about 650 very high-end apartments, 250 key hotel on the bottom of Tower 2, and then condos on top of that. And that's going to be connected with a bridge that will now fly across Circle 75, no longer the Indy 500, which is what we used to call it, between Comcast and the Omni. And it'll connect the Henry project to us. So there's two big projects obviously going on right now, and they'll start taking place and take place over the next 3 years.
That's really exciting. Really exciting.
Is that going to be right next to Murph's?
Murph's is on the other side of the highway, remember?
I didn't know you said it was connecting
to No. So just behind the Omni. That small building demoed in a couple of weeks. We have a groundbreaking on June 6th.
Wow.
And the Henry 1 and 2, it pays obviously homage to Hank, and there'll be an affiliation with Hank, and Billy's been part of that. So it's really, really kind of cool.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I see cranes, and there's always something going on. Lauren Abernathy, who's in our marketing meetings, and we're always asking her, all right, when's this coming and what's going to happen next? There's always something going on. I mean, you guys have continued to, I mean, it's been, I don't know, you would think that you wouldn't, you build it and that's it. But it's just like you're kind of reimagining it. Well,
and
that's
even as it's built. Now we have four Fortune 500 companies here with Comcast, Truist, Papa John's, TKE. But the activation that Lauren and her whole team do outside of baseball last year was 426 events. So we're constantly driving people here. Monday night yoga on the green and concert series and all the holidays and the Cornhole League and college football, NFL football, just creating concerts, those special concerts, creating those specialty type of events too. And that's why our tenants are so wildly successful.
It's good stuff. Well, we appreciate you being on with us today, and
thank
great
you.
Catching up. Sorry it's been so long, but we'll have you on again, because we definitely didn't get into everything, especially all the stuff going on with your family. And I know you're proud of your son. He's working with the Angels now.
Different type of an A in that uniform.
Yeah, that's right.
We gave him a little grief, but he's really launched. He loves it. He wants to be a GM in this game. So first thing he ever said to Alex when he met him, Alex said, well, what do you want to do in the game, Drew? He said, I don't want your job one day.
Nice.
So he's doing well, I'm proud.
Nice. Well, you know, I guess they're part of the family, because Perry, you know, he's the GM out there.
For sure.
Yep. Definitely feel like that they're a part of our family. So anyway, great seeing you, Mike.
Thanks, appreciate guys.
It. Thanks, Mike.
Enjoyed it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks again to Mike Plant for joining us here on Behind the Braves. Really fun conversation with him. By the way, the the plans for the Henry that he mentioned across the street over here. It's if you haven't seen it, or if you're listening to this, you haven't seen it, there's some renderings online and whatnot, and it's pretty incredible looking. So yeah, there's much more to come here at the Battery. It's a pretty exciting, it's already an exciting place to be, and it continues to get better. So kudos to Mike and the whole team for leading us and leading the charge on all of that. Well, you're leading the charge on a number of things. Of course, we've got Alumni Sunday. Mm. We're in the midst, as we're recording this, we're in the midst of a long homestand, nice 10-game homestand. Stands have been packed every night. It's always great to see that. Great energy here. And Alumni Sunday, this Sunday, I believe you got what, Brett Boone and Johnny Estrada coming this Sunday?
That is correct, yeah. Nice. Couple All-Stars.
Well, I love that. Yeah, I remember Johnny Estrada, 2004 All-Star, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brett Boone's first time back.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, so we're excited about having him here and being able to see. I don't even know if he's been to the stadium, much less been back, you know, as a Braves alumni. So first-timer, and just pretty special.
You know, I Mike touched on this a little bit in the interview, and I know you as an alumni, or as a former player yourself, I know you get this and appreciate this. I've talked about, or I've been thinking about this a lot more recently with my dad being a former NASCAR driver. So he got invited last weekend to go to North Wilkesboro, which, long story short, for those of you listening, is a track that was in the beginning. NASCAR raced that from the beginning in 1940s, and they raced there every year until 1996. It shut down due to a number of reasons, and it pretty much sat there dormant for the last 25, 27 years. And then there became this big movement to refurbish it. I mean, Mother Nature was taking it over and started up again. And so some money kicked in from the state of North Carolina. They got it refurbished, and NASCAR, for the first time in 27 years, raced there last weekend. As part of the weekend festivities, my dad got asked to come be on a tire side chat, they called it, with, and we were, I was kidding him, giving him a hard time, because it was literally like Richard Petty, Rusty Wallace, Jeff Bodine, Richard Childress, Darrell Waltrip, and Rick Mast. And I was just, you know, I was giving him a hard time. But it was so cool that he was, you know, invited back. For somebody like him that's been retired for over 20 years from his sport, I don't know. I'm sure it makes him feel good. Me as his son, I feel so good that he's still appreciated by his sport and he still gets invited back. And so just from me to you, I appreciate that you do that with these guys, and that you're bringing these guys back, and that you're mixing different guys in for Alumni Sunday. You and your team, you're always, I mean, you mentioned this is Brett's first time back. I mean, you're always trying to get as many alumni here and involved as possible. So just from me to you, I appreciate that. And that's a really nice thing. In addition, the fans get to meet some of their former, or their heroes from back in the day. So it's really great.
I think it's one thing to be able to tell your kids that you played or talk to your friends, but when you can talk to another team, former teammate, and you can kind of get that little bit of feeling back of conversations back in the day, or just, you know, jabbing each other and doing that. That's just something you can't do with everybody. I mean, we all, you know, you have childhood friends, right?
Sure.
You just, there's something different about that. And I think the locker room and the team and all the different trials that you go on, the success or that you have during a season, successes, failures, that's all wrapped up in a lot of emotion and things that when somebody can share that experience with you and then you can relive that a little bit, it is special. So I'm glad your dad's getting to do that, because that's a lot of fun.
Well, I just, when he was getting to do that last weekend and I was seeing the pictures and video and everything that was coming out from it, I've always appreciated what you do, but it gave me that extra appreciation that I think about it, you know, I'm always so thinking about it from the fans' perspective of like, hey, you get to come out and meet this former All-Star or get an autograph or picture or whatever the event may be. And for the first time, or really for the first time thinking about it at length, I thought, this is a cool thing for the alumni too, to get to come back, see old teammates, get to be around the game a little bit.
Definitely,
you know, some
definitely.
Guys stay, like you've stayed in the game, moved into the front office. Some guys, they quit playing and that's it. They move on to some other form, like part of life where they're away from the game. And I would think for most of them, it's got to be nice to come back and just be around the game.
Sure.
Even just for a day or two.
Well, Kyle Davies was just here this past weekend. He had never been to Truist Park. So now he got to bring his kids and experience what, you know, what the Braves have to offer now, and of course reliving that and then being able to share with his, you know, his kids the moment, I think is pretty special. You know, you don't, your kids sometimes, they're not born when you played, or they're very, very young and they don't know dad the same way that maybe some of the fans know him. And it's just a cool experience. So that's one thing I am proud of, that I see the look in the alumni's eyes when they come back and their kids are here. It is something a little bit special.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the future. future generation of ball players. So you, of course, we've talked about it on here before. You're now heading up Growing the Game Initiative for the Atlanta Braves, and you have seemingly events. I'm not saying they're literally every day, but man, it seems like you got events happening almost every day. I know you've got some pretty cool play ball events coming up. I know you wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, play ball weekend is June that weekend, the 9th, I think. The 9th, 10th, and 11th. So we're doing some activations here at the ballpark, but we're also going to be down in Auburn. And one of the things we're doing is a pitch, hit, and run and junior home run derby contest on the 8th, which is a Thursday night. And that's going to be a precursor to our Braves Country Battles that are going to be going. We'll probably have over 100 teams there playing in a travel ball tournament, but we're opening up this special event for the city of Auburn and those people around that area in the southern part of Georgia and Alabama. You're welcome to come over. We'd love you to register online. Go to braves.com/growinthegame.
It's free, right?
Yeah, it's free. Mm-hmm. You can see the registration for time slots and age groups. Every person that signs up is going to get a Franklin bat and a ball, a wiffle ball bat and a ball. And I don't think those are the same, right? Wiffle ball is different than, but Franklin makes something similar to wiffle ball, right? But Major League Baseball is going to be, has sent us a bunch of those, and we're going to hand them out for everybody that registers. So come out and see us. We're going to be running the events. And then if you win there, or if you do really well, you'll have a chance to move on up. And that's something that I did when I was a kid. So I came to Atlanta when I was probably 10 or 12 years old. I can't remember the age. And I competed in the regional pitch, hit, and run, and I won. And then you had to just wait and see if your scores matched up to whether you got invited to the All-Star game. I didn't get picked to go to the All-Star game, but I do remember that experience very fondly. It was a great time, and so it's great to be back involved with pitch, hit, and run, and Major League Baseball is a big supporter of that. So we're going to be doing that down there in Auburn on the 8th of June. So hopefully everybody comes out, register online. We'd love to have you be a part of it.
Well, that sounds great. We'll head over to braves.com, check that out, get registered. As Greg said, it's free. It's right there on the website. There's time slots that you can pick from, and that's a really, really cool initiative for baseball and softball, young baseball and softball players. That's very cool.
That's right.
Well, as always, thank you all for listening, rating, reviewing, subscribing, Behind the Braves, wherever you get your podcast. We very much appreciate it. For Greg McMichael, I'm Ricky Mast. We'll see you next week.